So I grew up in Belgium, in a small town, and I'm back there actually, living there for a few years now. The countryside is a little bit quieter than big cities, and I find them easier to navigate. And then I went to, primary school and secondary school, and I find that, now reflecting back, I find that these were quite years of torture, the school system, especially the mainstream one, is pretty hard, I think, on our development, and or influences us. And then I went to study abroad, but I had some I was starting to have a struggle with mental health. I think we all have, with like maybe also self-image, self-esteem. And I mean, I notice there is usually heavy programming sent our way. You have We generally have some kind of suicide programming. For me, it was activated when I was about 16 years old, and it was all in relationship with a romantical relationship that, in fact, kind of was engineered in my dream time. That's how it got started, like the bond ship. And then it took me actually quite a while to really open my eyes to what was going on at that time, and discover that that person was, in case, the classic type of an overt narcissist. After these years, I was quiet for 6 years, maybe from 20 to 26. I was doing my research. I was already looking into some kind of alternative information, but I was also not like diving into experience. So I was really protecting my space. And it's only when I was 26 that I went traveling, and there I really encountered a lot of different profiles in my travel, and it kind of triggered a lot of different things. Actually, for a few years, it was like a tornado, because of all these triggers that were kind of dormant. But by meeting specific individuals, experiencing certain things, it really influenced me a lot. And it also started a lot of painful suffering linked to relationship, especially romantical one, and also these kind of love bite scenarios that we hear about, that they are engineered relationship. And I noticed that the profile would change a little bit. They would become more sophisticated. I had like what we call like backdrop narcissists. They were my first handlers, or like at the end of my 20s. And then I had more spirited ones. It kind of transformed as I was evolving. It got more sophisticated in the traps and in the mind game, and also more psychic beings. I see it still now. Different form of narcissism present in friendships, and I kind of want to see also the good in people and the potential, but this environment we are with him just abuse any weakness. So it's making it hard to kind of navigate all these mind games, and how hidden handlers also can take advantage of them to kind of plug to our core wound. And in the end, it's a harvesting, right? Because we give our energy to certain groups by associating with certain beings. Like we can train ourselves to recognize the patterns, right? Especially in how we feel. It's always gonna tell us the real quality of the interaction, right? And I also agree that like most of our suffering is an illusion, and if we break out of mind control, believing the twist and the distortion, then we are free from guilt, pain, shame. So about that, I would say that these relationships, these types of really complex relationships, have been really what invited me to really dive deeper because of the suffering that I was experiencing at that moment. And you know, it's around also the end of the 20s. Everybody's got their Saturn return, and it can be a little bit bumpy road. Everybody's got kind of an intense story around that time, 28, 30. And I was engaged in at least two different complex relationships, one year after the other. I mean, the degree of strangeness also increased when I was traveling with different location. For example, you know, you have Thailand and Bali, and yeah. I also went to California, and the degree of strangeness was higher than, for example, yeah. when I live here in Belgium. I find it extremely hard to navigate in Bali, for example, and also in Thailand. It was not the same energy, but kind of difficult also to navigate. In Bali, all these Balinese make a lot of prayers. You know, I find it extremely hard to navigate psychically because they interfere with your free will with their kind of spelling. So it's a very spelled reality there. And I find it very hard to keep my track, to keep, you know, every time I get kind of pulled apart by the will of someone. I'm more sensitive now that I've been, you know, I've been quitting stimulants and so on.
Yeah.
Maybe at that time of my life, I wasn't trusting so much my inner guidance, or maybe even aware of how it works. I've looking back, I felt that there was like engineering, you know, orchestration kind of leading me to like synchronicities, you know, but synchronicities from the matrix. This is arrangement from some faction. And I, at that time in my life, also my mother was struggling with her mental health, you know. She had a psychological decompensation, and when I went back from my first travel, she wasn't herself really, and she never came back because she was medicated. And then the psychological institutes, you know how they have like a dark grip over the mental health of people. So that didn't really go well. And I kind of, it was really tragic for me because me and my mother, we had like such a strong and beautiful connection. And she was one of the pillar of my life, really. And she was kind of losing grip and spiraling down. So I made the choice to survive her departure. She also had to live with, you know, a lot of suffering in the physical body. Like she would have loved that, you know, the way, like the way of detoxification, because I think it does a lot for our mental health too, to not live in an acidic body. So that was really complex at that time. That and an abusive relationship, I think, was the moment where I really chose to kind of take back a little bit of power in my life and close some door that I really needed to close. But it was extremely painful and hard to make that decision, but extremely necessary. Exactly, that's like these mind games. And that's why I was also using that term illusory, because when you look back to your past a few years later, you realize that, you know, it was all in your hands. Like, you know, it's a decision when you break free from mind control that lead you to certain types of relationship. And everyone who is in the project has this self-destruction programming, sabotage programming. And I mean, how many people have been like cutting, you know, their wrist or but sabotage can take other forms. And even when you overcome the big layers of the urge, you know, to self-destruct, you know, alcohol is another form of sabotaging and self-destruction. But I feel is very based with the inversion here. You know, it's a kind of self-hatred, and then we have to kind of work hard to take better care of ourselves and to fight the constant inversion. You know, and I was also initiated to drugs and psychedelics and by one of my romantical relationship, because without that blind trust, I'm not sure I would have explored that, but then it I felt the dark. I felt a kind of dark handler, invisible, but kind of having that smile that I was taking that road, and I felt that presence. So you know, it's a choice then what we do with our body and how we destruct it. But I've seen also the result of this escapism in my life with the my health that was degrading.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you know, I was aging much faster, and it felt like a process that was getting out of control, and yeah. that was making me feel powerless, yeah. without power. So at some point, I also switched that and made a decision to kind of reclaim and learn, and that knowledge also helped a lot to not be in disempowerment. That's also was my realization, you know, that it was really with me. No matter where I would go, I would attract, you know, hunter, abuser,
yeah.
People who were after the energy,
yes.
And what they could get out of. So yeah. It was a way, I think we all have to learn to be much firmer with our boundaries. It's sad, but we sometimes also have to learn to be strict. Mm. And I've noticed that there is a certain addiction to negativity and to drama that needs to be overcome, because it's yes. very linked to our dopamine circuit. So yes. we kind of feel alive and then empty when we're not sometimes. I also noticed that these experiences are great to kind of identify, you know, deep wounding that often is based on negative programming and is also illusory, but it's good to know it's there. And how it can be manipulated, and then we can work on that. In one of these painful relationships, they are really engineered to get the worst out of us. So to put us in very triggered state, I didn't know at the time that I you know, I have dissociation, I have different alters living in me. And it's only later that I realized that the pain was so terrible sometimes that it would make me switch into this alter state. So it means I was out of control, and this is not good to kind of work on reintegration. So it's been very interesting to kind of trace back what was really happening, and it's really influencing to give your energy away, you know, and to be in this suffering state, you're all harvested, and it's no good. When I decided to close the door, I worked on my healing, but of course it wasn't that simple, right? Because the healing scene is full of imposters and very controlling energy, also ready to harvest you, right? So I joined some circle called Santo Daime. They are, you know, you drink the beverage of ayahuasca, but it's a Portuguese tradition where you sing Portuguese Christian songs. Mm. And there are lots of groups around the world in every country. So I worked with different groups, but opening my consciousness in the middle of room with very, very different energies, and many were not so welcoming or well-intentioned, you know. So it was all a learning curve. I also consulted a lot of different psychological modalities and therapy modalities, but there was not much good, I would say. There was a lot of attempts to influence, to kind of put me back into my programming. So it was interesting. There was all this scene, you know, they are gurus. So the plant medicine and all of that, I worked a little bit with that. I also worked with Kambo at some point, you know, the frog venom where you burn your skin and kind of apply the venom, and then it goes straight to your organism actually quite quickly. So these were like kind of very forceful purge, but they also have their problem with the astral realm, or how you can be violated due to the agreements you give mm-hmm. while taking place in this ceremony. So it was all interesting. I learned a lot of things like that with these environments. Every time I was going somewhere, you know, I knew there was something wrong at the time when it was happening. I could feel it. It would sometimes take me maybe a few days a week before really standing up for myself and maybe leaving the groups because, you know, there was not, maybe there was not many, many openings, but I know that every time you refuse something, new paths open really. Yeah. And with the Santo Daime, it was mixing Christianity. So there was in the songs themselves, there was like guilt programming, shame yeah. programming, right? Yeah. And all that philosophy, and many people were actually deceived by thinking they were doing good while actually they were abusing you.
Yeah,
they didn't know really they were also under pretty severe yeah. mind control. I mean, it's progressive because you can I always can find traces of mind control and engineering in my life up to this day. But I've worked a lot on releasing the external authority programming and kind of working more from your core, from yourself, right? Yeah. Not looking for the answers outside. I wasn't aware at that time that it was so infested. If I knew, then you know, in the end, what we, you know, we have been invited to be more at home, maybe, and in a sense, that's a blessing because you can do a lot. You can transform your life a lot from, you know, if you're not constantly going. Yeah. It's progressive, and for me, it was also linked to my health. You know, my body was really acidic. I had health issues, and my gums were receding. So I really asked for answers, and I found the mucus-free detox method and way of eating, and the mucosline also, and so I started to do that, and that's also when a lot of things have shifted for me, when you know my body was not in constant acidity. So I learned a lot about cellular detoxification for a few years. And in my 20s, I also was learning about humanist psychology and back flower and reflexology at that time. And I already wanted to be a therapist at that time, but I was lacking experience. And I was also unprepared to kind of be armed for the different range of clients that the system also gonna send you. Mm-hmm. So I kind of dive deeper into all this knowledge, you know, like I've always been interested in learning more, and also practice a lot with my own healing. And so the result of this method that we're reversing things or getting good result, you know, getting things out also of the body, waste getting out. So we feel lighter. It's very crucial, I think, and also linked to the spiritual world. 4 years ago, I started to work on my website. You know, I started with writing articles first and then going deeper about the mind control. And, you know, every time I was deprogramming from an event, I was also kind of taking a few months to understand the dynamics and to research yeah. also sometimes. And then to also share it with others so they can also... you know, sometimes we need to read the words, someone who has put things into words to kind of reclaim parts of our experience too. It helps also to read some definition like gaslighting. Oh, it makes sense. Right? And yeah. we all have experienced it. So it's great yeah. that there is a term for that. Yeah. So I worked on article, then yeah. I started to create videos and really? Also audio podcasts. And I also opened my practice as a psychic intuitive, and I'm also a cellular detoxification coach. Now I hold group, you know, process, and we have just been closing the second group. We have been doing a challenge also of eating off food liquids, and also training in reading energy signatures. So with my experience, I also have been training a lot, and so I can teach it now. You know, yeah. where to look, like tuning into the signature of, yeah. because we are so many different beings, and there are so many different templates and things to understand. And every case is really unique. So yeah. and also the last year, I also started to work with the biofeedback technology from my friend Kimberly McGeorge from Secret to Everything. And I've been working with biofeedback technology as a consultant in the past, and I really like them. But that one really goes beyond the ones I've been experiencing before, and you can actually also keep on programming your own panel, and it's based on frequency. So it's a frequency technology. That's how it works. So I really been fascinated with that, and it's been a huge tool, complementary tool into how I work with my clients. And you know, I do one-on-one as well, and I keep on writing and you know, feedbacking everything that is happening. And the last years also have been interesting, you know, with what we have been experiencing collectively.